You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement, Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at Time for an Awakening.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a great weekend. Hope you're going to get a chance to do all the things that you want to do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not, and it has to be done, you will get it done. You will do it, and you will do it safely. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that. The drop-down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. You can easily go to babaoshi.net to get those programs as well. Just put in babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, and all times are going to give our Eastern times. On Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed. And that's followed by from 8 p.m. to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. On Wednesdays, from 8 to 9, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. If it's Friday, and the day is Friday. So at 8 p.m. this evening, it'll be Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then 7 to 9 on Saturdays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council. Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We buy black. We buy black. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses from WeBuyBlack.com. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, these products are produced by us. And if we don't buy them, who will? We must learn that cooperative economics is a necessity. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bamani Tahimba has been taking our people to the motherland for many years. Africa for the Africans. And he has an upcoming trip. He's going to Tanzania. And that is going to be November 18th to the 29th. November 18th to the 29th to Tanzania. And then December 24th through the January 5th, 2022. He'll be going to Ghana, and then April 1st to April 11th to Senegal and Gambia, and then May 24th to June 5th to Ghana. May 24th to June 5th back to Ghana, 2022. And all these trips are $3,700. You put a down payment of $400 down, and you pay on it as it goes, so you don't try to hurt yourself so badly. But then again, you are able to pay on it and then pay completely, and you are ready for the trip of a lifetime, brothers and sisters. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Brothers and sisters, everything that you need is on the website, africa40africans.org. All the information that you may need, all the information is right there. Okay, africa40africans.org. Habesha Incorporated. Habesha Incorporated. Habesha Incorporated, brothers, they are doing the work. HabeshaIncorporated.org. They're doing excellent work with sustainable agriculture here in the Atlanta area with the programs of urban green jobs. Habesha Works, Black Tar Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and the urban green jobs. And of course, the Kashi Project that is ongoing in Ghana today. It's beautiful. And if you go to the website, you'll see the progress that has been made. HabeshaIncorporated.org. The LEDGE Group. LEDGE stands for Land for the Environmental Development of Group Economics. The LEDGE Group.com. Brothers and sisters, go to the LEDGE Group.com. Of course, the LEDGE Group deals with the four areas of human existence: food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects on six countries in Africa, with over 170 employed and over 260 who are members of the LEDGE Group. Membership has its privileges. If you are a member of LEDGE, you can buy land in Tanzania. You can buy land for $250 an acre in Tanzania. Become a member of LEDGE and take advantage of this tremendous opportunity and go to Tanzania and go to Africa. Brothers and sisters, let's go home. Ashe. Bibiatumi. Bibiatumi.com. Bibiatumi.com, brothers and sisters. They don't have any events. I usually see they have some events upcoming. They don't have any at this time, but brothers and sisters, they do have the language. You can learn the Medunecha. You can learn Kiswahili. They have an advanced course as well as a beginner's course. All of these things you can do on bibiatumi.com. And also they have a repatriation course to repatriate to Ghana or wherever, to Africa. Okay? bibiatumi.com. All right. Homeland Village Cultural Gift Shop, located in Macon, Georgia. I talked to my brother the other day. He's at 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. Brother Abijah, and give him a call at 478-256-1166, 478-256-1166. He has just an array of stuff: holistic health stuff, beauty products, oils, incense, CDs, videos, jewelry, books, fashions, furniture, man. Go to the Homeland Village Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. All right. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta on Ralph David Abernathy. They have a fine selection of smoothies and health drinks and wraps and soups. And on weekends, on Saturday and Sunday, they have vegan dishes that you can purchase. And give them a call at 404-444-1635. That's Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located right across the street from the Soul Vegetarian Restaurant, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, which is open on Friday and Saturday, today and tomorrow, from 1 to 7 still. They do have service on Sundays, virtual, and they're going to start the classes back up, the history classes, virtual. All right. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Go visit Mama Nia at the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, right on the main strip there. She has a fine selection of books,
postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, all kind of good stuff at the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. And give her a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. Tomorrow, they have a Founders Day. They have a nice program that jazz from like 11 a.m. to about 1. Then they have speakers. Brother Chiki Akua and a few others will be speaking. Founders Day at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore located in Lithonia, Main Street. And the number to call is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. Brothers and sisters, they also have, and I'll be talking about that, the Haitian program on Sunday. They have a fundraiser for Haiti on Sunday that, you know, for those who are able to attend, or if you're not able to attend, you can give to Brother Kwaku Lumumba and his group, Mukosa. They're organizing the fundraiser. If you give, the money that you give will go directly, unlike, you know, the ripoff of American Red Cross and United Way and all those other ones. No, the money will go directly to help the brothers and sisters in Haiti. That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Haiti and the need for us to understand the Haitian people and understand the Haitian Revolution and why Haiti has been kept poor by the United States. So, brothers and sisters, the Black Dot Cultural Center. So tomorrow, Founders Day, go check them out. Their address is 6984 Main Street. And then on Sunday, the Haitian Revolutionary, the Haitian, excuse me, the fundraiser for Haiti. For Haiti, and the main speaker will be Brother Kwaku Lumumba, good young brother, and all the other brothers of the Black Dot, the Black Circle, the brothers from the Black Circle, Brother Andre, Brother Bukman, many others, Brother Kwaku, many good brothers who are members of the Black Circle, and the work that we try to do to support one another. So, Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. Inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Brothers and sisters, go check out Sun Goddess Sense. Give our sister Shelly Amonset a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. Sister Gabrielle Aurelia, who's doing great work in the island of Haiti. This portion of the island where she works at was not affected by the earthquake. She's just opposite of that. She's in the northeastern, and the earthquake was in the southwestern portion. You know that part that sticks out, that peninsula that sticks out? That was the part that was affected. And she's in the near the border with Dominican Republic in the rural area. So, brothers and sisters, go online. Go to Sanjay, Sonjay-Haiti.org. Sanjay-Haiti. Akaban Institute, Baba Baruti and Mama Ya and Iya, whose birthday it was a few days ago. Once again, give Mama Iya some good vibes for her birthday, and she continues to, you know, have that trip around the sun. I hope she has many, many more. Akaban Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. You can make those checks out to Akaban Institute, and you can check or money order and send it to P.O. Box 10786, 30310. Or you can use Cash App or PayPal. If you use Cash App, the dollar sign, YAA, the letter M, and then Baruti, BARUTI. Also, too, brothers and sisters, you know that Baba Baruti is a prolific writer. Go to AkabanHouse.com. AkabanHouse.com for a fine selection of books that Baba Baruti, which I'm going to read one right now, which is, of course, the Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesim. Oh, I didn't mention Us Lifting Us. Glad it covered up. us lifting us to economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, cooperative economics, or family-centered economics, as we like to call it. But the Thursday night broadcast went off last night, listened to portions of it. And that's every Thursday night on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU, Us Lifting Us, at 9 p.m. on Thursday. If you just want to call to listen, you can do that, or call to make a question, comment, or concern. Hit 1 and you'll be further up the line in the queue. And you dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. September 30th. Even before birth, a mother can so direct her thoughts and conduct as to bring into the world either a genius or an idiot. Amy Jacques Garvey. There is no place more sacred than the womb, and nothing more important for the person growing in the womb than the mind that governs the body in which the womb is housed. We have always known this and have protected the person who possesses the womb accordingly. While much has changed in our humanity since our subsimilation into Urugu's dehumanized, misogynistic, abortion-focused reality, those who understand the connection between divinity, procreation, women, and the womb still revere the womb and the individuals blessed to be born with this sacred responsibility. Of course, with privileges come responsibility, and correct, righteous education lies at the heart of every woman's duty to her pregnancy and child-rearing. And while Ma'at demands balance, calling for men to fulfill their equivalent complementarity role in this process, it is the mother who lays the foundation as first teacher. It is the quality of her love, concern, and vision which is the determining factor. Only the mother emotionally and intellectually speaks directly to her unborn child, using her mind to nurture it into either a genius or an idiot. Affirm, I think and act in the interest of our children, born and unborn. Affirm, I think and act in the interest of our children, born and unborn. October 1st. Your teachers are all around you. All that you perceive, all that you experience, all that is given to you or taken from you, all that you love or hate, need or fear, will teach you if you will learn. Octavia Butler. Warriors must be humble enough to listen to the criticisms from those around them who have their best interests at heart. This requires that we earnestly listen to and value the critiques. Extreme individualism has led many of us to believe that we know everything already. For them, criticism is considered a personal insult. They shield themselves from all criticism and see this defensiveness as a positive measure of their intelligence or superiority. In such a false reality, it takes a mature warrior's strength of humility to seriously consider the value of such criticism. Ignoring or avoiding criticism is an understandable defensive posture to adopt toward enemies or those looking to divide us from within. But the same measuring rod for their criticism should not apply for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us on the front line. Those who best follow in the footsteps of our ancestors are most qualified to offer us constructive instructions. Ashe. Ashe. Affirm, I am attentive student of the all. Affirm, I am a attentive student of the all. October 2nd. Every day that dawns brings events from which the face is forced to turn. I speak strongly against it. My limbs are heavy laden and my heart is heavy with grief. It is painful not to speak about it. Another heart might bend or break, but a strong heart in the midst of difficulties is an ally to its owner, capital Ra. Make no mistake, the Ma'afa has not ended. Though the above statement is ancient, having been crafted during the early stages of the destruction, decline of Kemet society, its words ring as true today as then. And for those Africans who know that the war is nowhere near over, and as victorious thinkers refuse to wallow in any form of vanquishment, it is painful not to speak about it. Having to watch the onslaught of Urugu and others against us and our feeble reactive response to it even into this day and age is beyond painful and even in need of being articulated. Those of us who cannot rest will never be able to pretend that this Holocaust is not still destroying so many of us. Those of us who want to gain a war's knowledge of why we subsist in this way when we have the power within to stop this madness and reverse it, have to ask and answer for ourselves a most powerful question, and that is of exactly what would it take for our people to have moved from such deep levels of self-love to such devastating levels of self-hatred in the first place. For one claiming warhood, but who is hesitant on the battlefield for fear of challenging any serious efforts to destroy our people, in fact embraces our destruction as if it is somehow a badge of honor. It's like a bird that remains afraid of heights, but still wants to claim his or her wings, useless to them or herself and anyone for whom he or she is responsible. Affirm, I speak and work against our destruction. Affirm, I speak and work against our destruction. Brothers and sisters, the Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Ashe. Ashe, ashe, ashe. Ashe, yo. On Sunday, we will be at a fundraiser for Haiti, and hopefully, if you cannot be at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, you can support it. I will give you the information to, because we need to do all that we can to help our brothers and sisters. I think it's vitally important that we do all that we can to help our brothers and sisters. Fundraising for the event at Haiti with performances, and this is organized by the Black Circle of Brothers. All proceeds will go to WOCOSSA. That's K-O-S-S-S-A, COSSA.com, a local grassroots organization in collaboration with the island of Haiti and all nations that, you know, that suffer. Sunday from 12 p.m. to 6 at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, 6984 Main Street in Lithonia. And you can also view it. It'll be on, I believe it's on streaming. But you can make your contributions through paypal.com/pools/seed/8. Well, it's a long one. I didn't need to write that one out. Yeah. The funds collected during this event will go to COSSA. And that is, you can go to COSSA and make this donation. COSSA.com, K-O-S-S-S-A.com, a local grassroots organization operating in Les Cas, one of the major cities that have been affected by the earthquake. The hurricane season is making it even more difficult for the people to deal with the aftermath of this natural disaster. Let us help the brothers and sisters in Haiti by supporting a local organization that is really interested in helping the people as opposed to those big international non-governmental organizations, the NGOs, that have been enriched themselves instead of rendering help to the people in need. And we know that history, we know that story. That's what happened with the Clintons, and that's what happened with United Way and the American Red Cross and all the other agencies that have people who are at the top of them making 6-7 figure salaries, because they go out and they, of course, deal with they go out there and they deal with fundraising. So the idea is that because they're such great fundraisers, they must get a percentage of the funds. I understand that. I have no problem with that, you know. But what I have a problem with is that the administrative costs of these things are you know, 20, 30, 40% of operating. And then there's other layers. And by the time the money for that particular cause that people give money to, very few dollars really go to that cause. I'm going to play a particular piece that talks about. Hold on. Let's listen.
Poverty, natural disaster, or now political violence. Every report about Haiti has to include the line that it's the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere.
But hold on for a second. Something's missing in this conversation, right?
We need to be all thinking about the relationship of what we're calling poverty in Haiti and the relation to the richness of the rest of the world. And how did the rest of the world get so rich?
Let's start with France. Imagine if you were enslaved, and after fighting for your independence, you were forced to spend the next couple of generations paying compensation to those who colonized you.
Reparations for slaveholders is a new one for me.
That is exactly what happened to Haiti.
This is punishment for their unwillingness to remain under the yoke of slavery.
In 1697, France and Spain ended a war with each other by dividing up the Spanish colony Hispaniola. Through the labor of enslaved indigenous and black people, Saint-Domingue became the world's most profitable colony, exporting sugar, coffee, and indigo.
Enslaved people in Saint-Domingue suffered some of the harshest and cruelest slave punishments in the entire Atlantic world. Life expectancy was extremely low, such that at the moment of the Haitian Revolution breaking out in August of 1791, the vast majority of enslaved people had only been on the island for 2 or 3 years. They were from whatever nation that they had been captive and brought over, and they basically said no.
Self-liberated Africans led the Haitian Revolution and ended slavery in present-day Haiti and the Dominican Republic. After 12 years of fighting the French colonial power, which had tried to reintroduce slavery, the formerly enslaved people of Saint-Domingue officially declared their independence and renamed their country Haiti. Many countries, including the United States, refused to recognize Haitian independence in fear of slave rebellions. And France refused to accept Haiti's independence unless Haiti paid 150 million francs as so-called compensation for lost revenues from slavery. That was around 10 times Haiti's annual budget. But Haiti couldn't decline the indemnity request since the French came ready for war, carrying more than 500 cannons on their ships. Articles from that period show that the French king knew the Haitian government wouldn't be able to repay the debt, which decimated Haiti's economy. Haitians had extremely high taxes, and most of the tax revenue was paid for the indemnity. This left the education system, public infrastructures, and healthcare underdeveloped. Agricultural land was also depleted to grow cash crops that paid for the debt but couldn't feed the country. It took Haiti 122 years to pay off its debt and required taking high-interest loans.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy to say that Haiti is poor and Haiti must be poor. And I think the better question whenever a people, an entire people, is characterized as poor with this word is to say, not why are they poor, but why aren't you?
But it's not just the French who have played a role in Haiti's misery.
So the United States has intervened in Haitian affairs quite a lot.
President Moïse's assassination in 2021 left some Haitian officials calling for U.S. intervention. But not everyone agrees.
The only way that that could ever even have a fruitful outcome would be if it was because they were in dialogue with the Haitian people for the first time. Because that is not what usually happens. That's not what happens at all. They dialogue with the people claiming power, and some negotiation is struck. between those vying for power and the United States government. There's a lot of people saying, no, we don't want the United States to come and intervene again, because this is, again, a repetition of history.
The history that Professor Doubt is talking about involves the United States' 19-year occupation of Haiti, an occupation that killed thousands of Haitians. Following the assassination of Haiti's president in 1915, U.S. President Woodrow Wilson's administration invaded Haiti to protect U.S. investments. Then, they forced the election of a new Haitian president who would protect American interests in the country. Racist and fear-mongering rhetoric was used to justify the move. The occupation ensured that the U.S. prioritized its own interests in Haiti over what was best for Haitians. The U.S. occupation ended in 1934, after local dissent and rebellion grew too costly for the U.S. to control. But even after the occupation, the United States continued to play a role in the internal affairs of Haiti. In 1957, the U.S. government threw its support behind a Haitian dictator, François Duvalier. Duvalier and his successor, aka his son Jean-Claude, ate up aid from the United States in exchange for their strong anti-communist stand at the height of the Cold War. Haitian uprisings ended Duvalier Jr.'s rule and led to Haiti choosing its democratically elected leader, Jean-Bertrand Aristide, in 1990. But within a year, Aristide's government was toppled by a coup. Not only was one of the leaders of the coup on the CIA's payroll, but the U.S. had set up and funded the Haitian military and National Intelligence Service, which both played key roles in the coup. Ousted Aristide returned to his second presidency in 2001, and again was forced out of office by a coup that he claimed the U.S. had orchestrated. And after that, President Obama's cabinet pressured a Haitian presidential candidate to withdraw in 2010.
We see reports coming out of various civil society organizations saying that Haitians have lost faith in the electoral process because it doesn't reflect their actual concerns.
And that brought us to the 2016 Haitian presidential election, where late President Moïse was elected with an extremely low voter turnout, but U.S. backing. In February 2021, Moïse refused to step down at the end of his term. The U.S. once again backed him while thousands of Haitian protesters took to the streets.
Many Haitians are saying, we want to try actual Haitian democracy, where the Haitian people, not just the elite and the bourgeoisie and the business interests, get to have a say and determine the direction and future of the country.
It's clear that Haiti's poverty and political instability has long been influenced and shaped by foreign players. So, knowing this, where does Haiti go from here?
We have never been able to see what could happen in this particular black country without meddling and interference. We should try something new in the United States, and that is back off and back away and let the Haitian people determine their own future.
That's what should happen. The Haitian people should determine the future for themselves, like any other. But, of course, when you have European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, which is a worldwide phenomenon, often mentioned that, you know, when they came out of that dark age, that medieval age, land poor, resource poor, and people poor, and they had their so-called renaissance, their so-called awakening, and they said to themselves, we may war amongst ourselves, and they do, because they are the epitome of a warring people. In fact, I've often said that what they have always done is found a better way to kill your ass. They are a warring people. We may war amongst ourselves, but we are going to come together on those who are outside of us. And that's what they have done, and they continue to do. The United States came together with France, Spain, and Britain and came down on Haiti. They took the eastern side of the island and gave it to Spain, which is the Dominican Republic today. And they've punished Haiti ever since. Punished them ever since. In fact, it was the French that extorted Haiti. When France extorted Haiti, the greatest heist in history. Much of the reparations debate has revolved around whether the United States and United Kingdom should finally compensate some of their citizens for the economic and social cost of captivity that still lingers today. But to this writer, there's never been a more clear-cut case for reparations than Haiti. I'm a specialist on colonialism and captivity and what France did to the Haitian people after the Haiti Revolution is a particularly notorious example of colonial theft. France instituted slavery on the island, instituted captivity. Remember, I try my best to substitute the words that I see with a proper word that I think is most depicting of our situation, because a lot of words that they have, that Europeans throw out here, constantly gives you the impression and the idea and the vision of something that we are not. We ain't slaves. We've never been slaves. We're captives. France instituted captivity on the island in the 17th century, the 1600s. But in the late 18th century, the captive population rebelled and eventually declared independence. Yet somehow in the 19th century, the thinking went that former captives of Haiti, former captives that went, the thinking went that the former captors of the Haitian people needed to be compensated rather than the other way around. The captors, not the captive. The captors needed to be compensated. Just as the legacy of captivity in the United States has created a gross economic disparity between Europeans and Caucasians, between Africans and Europeans, the tax on its freedom that the French forced Haiti to pay referred to an indemnity at the time, severely damaged the newly independent country's ability to prosper. Haiti officially declared its independence from France in 1804. In October of 1806, the country was split in two, with Alexander Pernon ruling the south and Henri Christophe ruling in the north. Despite the fact that both of Haiti's rulers were veterans of the Haitian Revolution, the French had never quite given up on reconquering their so-called former colony. In 1814, King Louis XVIII, who had helped overthrow Napoleon earlier that year, sent three commissioners to Haiti to assist the willingness of the country's rulers to surrender. Christophe, having made himself king in 1811, remained abstinent in the face of France's exposed plan to bring back captivity. Threatening war, the most prominent member of Christophe's cabinet, Baron Vasty, insisted, "Our independence will be guaranteed by the tips of our bayonets." In contrast, Pétain, the ruler of the South, was willing to negotiate, hoping that the country might be able to pay France for recognition of its independence. In 1803, Napoleon had sold Louisiana to the United States for 15 million francs. Using this number as his compass, Pétain proposed paying the same amount, unwilling to compromise with those he viewed as runaway captives. Louis XVIII rejected the offer. Louis XVIII rejected the offer. Pétain died suddenly in 1818. But Jean-Pierre Boyer, his successor, kept up the good negotiations. Talks, however, continued to stall due to Christophe's stubborn opposition. An indemnification of the ex-colonists, Christophe's government stated, was inadmissible. Once Christophe died in 1820, Boyer was able to reunify the two sides of the country. However, with the obstacle of Christophe gone, Boyer repeatedly failed to successfully negotiate France's recognition of independence. Determined to gain at least something over the island, which would have made Haiti a protectorate of France, Louis XVIII's successor, Charles X, he's a member of the Nation of Islam. Charles X rebuked the two commissioners Boyer sent to Paris in 1824 to try to negotiate indemnity in exchange for the nation to be recognized independently. On April 17, 1825, the French king suddenly changed his mind. He issued a decree stating France would recognize Haiti independence, but only at the price of 150 million francs, or 10 times the amount the U.S. had paid for Louisiana. The sum was meant to compensate the French colonists, the French, for their lost revenues from our captivity, the French captors, for their lost revenues from our captivity. Baron de Macanau, whom Charles X sent to deliver the ordinance, arrived in Haiti in July, accompanied by a squadron of 14 brigs of war carrying more than 500 cannons. So this was extortion. If you don't accept this offer, we're going to blow your ass up. Rejection of the ordinance almost certainly meant war. This was not diplomacy. It was extortion. With the threat of violence looming, on July 11, 1825, Boyer signed the fatal document, which stated the present inhabitants of the French part of Saint-Domingue shall pay in five equal installments the sum of 150 million francs destined to indemnify the former land. French prosperity built on Haitian poverty. That's right. Newspaper articles from the period revealed that the French king knew the Haitian government was hardly capable of making these payments, as the total was more than 10 times Haiti's annual budget. The rest of the world seemed to agree that the amount was absurd. One British journalist noted that the enormous price constituted a sum which few states in Europe could bear to sacrifice. Forced to borrow 30 million francs from French banks to make the first two payments, it was hardly a surprise to anyone when Haiti defaulted soon thereafter. Still, the new French king sent another expedition in 1838 with 12 warships to force the Haiti president's hand. I tell you, these folks are something else, man. They are something else. The 1838 revision inaccurately labeled Treaty of Friendship. They called it a Treaty of Friendship. Yeah. Reduced the outstanding amount to 60 million francs. But the Haiti government was once again ordered to take out crushing loans to pay the balance. Although those victims claimed the indemnity would only cover 1/12 of the value of their lost properties, including the people they claim as their captives. The total amount of 90 million francs was actually five times France's annual budget. The people of Haiti suffered the brunt of the consequences of France's theft. Boyer leveled draconian taxes in order to pay back the loans, and while Christophe had been busy developing a national school system during his reign, under Boyer and all the subsequent presidents, such projects had to be put on hold. Moreover, resources have forced that the independent debt and the resulting drain on the Haitian treasury were directly responsible not only for the underfunding of education in the 20th century, but also the lack of health care and the country's inability to develop public infrastructure. Yeah. Contemporary assessments furthermore reveal that with the interest from all the loans, which were not completely paid off until 1947, Haitians ended up paying more than twice the value of the colonizers' claim. Recognizing the gravity of this scandal, French economist Thomas Pecqueur acknowledged that France should repay at least $28 billion to Haiti in restitution, a debt that's both moral and material. Former French President Jean Chirac to Nicolas Sarkozy to Francis Hollande have a history of punishing, skirting, or downplaying Haiti's demand for recompense. In May 2015 when French President François Hollande became only France's second head of state to visit Haiti, he admitted that his country needed to settle the debt. Later, realizing he had unwillingly provided fuel for the legal claims already prepared by an attorney, Ira Kersbaum, on behalf of the Haitian people, former Haiti President Jean-Bertrand Aristide had demanded formal recompense in 2002. Hollande clarified that he meant France's debt was merely moral. It was not a financial debt. It was just only moral, just something I just said. To deny that the consequences of captivity were also material is to deny France's history itself. France belatedly abolished captivity in 1848 and its remaining possessions of Martinique, Guadeloupe, Reunion, and French Guiana, which are still territories of France today. Afterwards, the French government demonstrated once again its understanding of captivity relationship to economics when it took upon itself to financially compensate the former owners of those brothers and sisters who had been captured. The owners, the captors. We're going to compensate the captors. To hell with the captive. Resulting racial wealth gap is no metaphor. In metropolitan France, 41% of the population lives below poverty line. In Martinique and Guadeloupe, in contrast, where there is 80% of the population is of African descent, the poverty rates are 40 and 50% respectively. The poverty rate in Haiti is even more dire, with 60% in poverty. And whereas the median annual income of French family is 31,000, it is only 450 a family in Haiti. These discrepancies are the concrete consequences of stolen labor from generations of Africans and their descendants. And because the indemnity Haiti paid to France is the first and only time a former captive people were forced to compensate those who had once captured them. Haiti should be at the center of the global movement for reparations. Yeah, I agree. Got some more stuff for us when we come back from the break. I hope that you'll join the conversation and also to help us understand or overstand, as some people say, the importance of supporting Haiti. Like I said, this Sunday at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore, a fundraiser for the brothers and sisters of Haiti and Brother Kwaku Lumumba, who's a brother who is very articulate with the issues that are affecting Haiti as well as the Congo, as well as other parts of the world, Cuba. I had him on the program a few months ago, a tape program, because he works during the day, was unable to be on the program live. But believe me, this brother is sharp and he understands, articulates the issues very well. And so we're going to, in fact, I'm going to play something when I get back and once again give you the information about the fundraiser and how you can help support and give to an organization, OCUSA, who is an organization who will directly find ways to get the money to the people of Haiti as opposed to ripping it off like they did when the first earthquake happened. And you could see how they rip it off because they have never recovered. That's 11 years ago. That was 2010. So, brothers and sisters, once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Brothers and sisters, we'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling,
hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back. Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Other program we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays from 6 to 8. Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed. And from 8 to 9 on Mondays, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Ataki Kamban. And then on Mondays as well, at from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. So please give them a listen this evening. On Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council on Saturday evenings. On Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We're talking today about Haiti and the need to support the efforts to support those brothers and sisters for the devastation that they have experienced. As we know that the brothers and sisters on the island of Haiti fought off their captors, the French, fought the United States, Great Britain, and Spain, defeated them. With the support of the United States and Britain, Spain took the eastern portion of the island, which is now the Dominican Republic. The island, with its island itself, was called Hispaniola, but actually the Taino people who occupied the island, who were genocide. See, that's a real form of genocide, when you erase and eliminate a whole group of people. See, what happened to the European Jews was not genocide. It's mass murder. That's what it is. It's mass murder. But it wasn't genocide. But of course, because of they control the narrative, they control mass media, you associate, when you hear the word genocide, you associate with it, just like when you hear the word Holocaust, you associate the European Jews. They have a word. They have their own word for it. That's Shoah. They have a word for it, but they've co-opted that word. So anytime you hear the word Holocaust, your mind has been trained to think European Jews. Excuse me. So we have four of my brothers from the Black Circle. Brother Andre 360. Brother Bukman. I always tell Brother Bukman I like that, because it is the Haitian Revolution that the Jamaican Dudi Bukman, who is a priest, a voodoo priest, and he was one of the organizers of the revolution. And he said this: throw off the white man's God and you will be free. Throw off the white man's God. Understanding that Haiti was Catholic, was Roman Catholic. Many of them practicing that particular theology. Of course, there were some in the bush, some of the Maroons who were practicing Vodun. But he said, throw off the white man's God and you will. He didn't say you might be free. He didn't say you could be free. He didn't say maybe you could be free. No, he said you will be free. And that's what they did. And they battled. The four powers at that time and still today in the world, military powers. And they did it. And they've been made to pay for it ever since. And when you see the Haitians, the brothers and sisters from Haiti who are crossing over from the Rio Grande River into Texas, these are the brothers and sisters that left Haiti back 2010, the first earthquake. They went into South America, Central America, in Honduras, in Guatemala, and so forth, Mexico. Now they were crossing into, some of them who have never experienced Haiti, who are children, have never experienced Haiti. They're going back to a place, and of course it's going to be very difficult for them. Man, I just seen a piece that Fort McCoy in Wisconsin. Fort McCoy, along with many abandoned forts, like they have a fort here that Tyler Perry got a good chunk of, Fort McPherson, for his studio, and there's still a lot more area. But Fort McCoy in Wisconsin, I've been there one time. Many, many, many years ago, is being utilized as a settling place for the Afghanistans. They're teaching them English. They have a place to live, comfortable surroundings and so forth, meals and what have you, you know. But, of course, they sent the Haitian people. Because let's be real, the immigration of this country is always, I mean, if you were African Cuban, that might be another story because, you know, from the politics of Cuba, particularly, you know, if you remember this from the 70s, the late 70s, Fidel opened up his jails. The Freedom Flotilla, where Cubans sailed, and that's where that movie Scarface, they're Cubans. Came out of because they opened up the jails and they came into South Florida and came into the Gulf area. And of course, they settled those people because of the politics. It would allow them. But they don't want these Haitians. They don't want the brothers and sisters from Haiti. They're not going to settle them. The outrage, of course, of how they were being treated and being confronted with men on horsebacks and with the reins that they had using them as whips and snatching folks up. Excuse me. I tell you. But see, it should not surprise us, but it still does. And people talk about the equivalence. Well, look how they're treated. Look how... Brothers and sisters, if you don't understand, and I'm going to just like Neely Fuller said, if you do not understand white supremacy, how it functions, how it operates, everything else you think you understand will only confuse you. And I maintain that we are so damn confused that we are confused in our confusion, and that's how confused we are. We don't have a clue. Many times we don't understand who we're dealing with. We're dealing with a people who have no heart. They have no heart. These people are evil. They have no conscience. They have no morality. Especially for us. I remember an article I read just, you know, recently on preparing for this, talking about some of the people who the French sent to negotiate, you know, because they wanted our captivity to be maintained. They wanted for us to continue to reaped a huge amounts of money from materials that we extracted, from sugar cane to tobacco to mahogany to whatever. Haiti or Hispaniola, and the Tainu people called it Haiti. The people who were eliminated, the people who genocide was extracted upon, called it Haiti. France and other Western nations wanted that land. They knew how rich it was and what it yielded. I'm going to let some brothers talk about the event this Sunday, the importance of it, and how you can participate. These are my good brothers from the Black Circle, Brother Bookman, and of course, Brother Kwaku Lumumba, our speaker.
Peace, everybody. Peace, family. My name is Brother Bookman. I'm here with my brother,
Kwaku Lumumba.
Obasi. All right. So here, we're here today, brothers and sisters, to inform you about our upcoming event. You know, Haiti or Haiti has been hit by an earthquake on August 14th of this year. So, and our people are in dire need of our help. So, we want to raise some funds for them. We wanna help our brothers and sisters. And we have here my brother Kwaku Lumumba, who a good brother. He has an organization called COSA, which he's gonna talk a little about today. What's going on, brother?
It's good, brother.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too.
So, first and foremost, if you could tell the people a little about you and what is COSA? Who is COSA? What is COSA doing?
Sure. Once again, I'm Kwaku Lumumba, External Relations Coordinator for COSA, Convite Citoyen Socialiste pour Sauver Haïti. Roughly, that means socialist citizens working together to save Haiti. It's an organization that was founded in Okai, in Lekai, which is the epicenter of this recent earthquake. And this happened 5 years before this earthquake in August 2016. This is a socialist organization that has been working in the community across the south of the country to socialize the people, get them to understand that there's an alternative to the capitalism that has been eroding the economy, eroding the political infrastructure of the nation for decades, and give them the means to transform the material conditions in Haiti so that every person can live as a human being.
Beautiful. Since the earthquake, what's the condition of our people there? You know, because we know we had an earthquake in 2010, which claimed a lot of lives. You know, this earthquake has not claimed so many lives, thankfully, but we know the infrastructure has been very devastated, you know. So, what's going on with our people there, and how has COSA been able to engage them, what's going on with COSA and the community in the South?
Well, so far, we've had well over 2,000 people die after this earthquake, but we have well over 1 million people who have been displaced. They've lost homes, they've lost loved ones, they've lost means of making a living, providing for their families. They don't have food to eat. They don't have water to drink. And so our people on the ground immediately after the earthquake went to different communes to do an assessment on what the needs are exactly of our people in these different places, like Cap-Bayon, Cap-Bayon. And so after this, we determined that we need the diaspora to give support, because it takes $100 to feed one family that's living on the streets, doesn't have any means to make a living. And so these things can't be done internally. There's so much that can be done. There is food that is being purchased, food that is being brought to people, but we can't do it without the diaspora. So that's why we're having events like this, talking to you, so that you can be involved in the recovery of our people and restoring the infrastructure of the South.
Beautiful. So, yeah, brothers and sisters, you know, I'm from Haiti, you know, and I'm here. The beautiful thing is my brother here, he's Haitian, not by nationality, but because the 1805 Constitution gave him the right, because he has the right character to call himself a Haitian, you know. And I'm here with my big boy Henri, my brother Obasi. We're here. So we got a brother who's born here, but he's doing work in Haiti. And I'm here, you know, connecting with my brothers who were born here. So all that to say, we're working in the spirit of Pan-Africanism, you know, connecting the diaspora all together, because we all we got, you know. Because we need to support each other. So we need your help. You know, if you donate whatever you can, you know, the event is going to take place on October the 3rd. That's a Sunday next weekend. You know, we want you to come. You'll be able to live stream. If you cannot come personally, you can live stream, make a donation and live stream, or purchase your ticket on Eventbrite. You know, so come, give whatever you can. The more, the better, but whatever you give is very welcome, and I appreciate it, you know, so come. My brother Henri, do you want to say something?
Yeah, once again, the event will be October 3rd, that's on a Sunday, at the Black Dot Cultural Center in Lithonia, Georgia. Please come out and support. We are part of the greater diaspora, you know, and our people need us. Those are our brothers and sisters over there. Those are our nieces and nephews over there. Those are our cousins over there. We are all part of the same family. You know what I mean? The African family. And we need to be out there making sure that we're looking out for each other as part of the Pan-African family. So, please, whatever you can do, if you can't make it to the event on October 3rd at the Black Dot Cultural Center in Lithonia, Georgia, then please send some money. Reach out to these brothers and hit the link where you can link up with COSA and send some money to the Cash App. This money is going to make, we're making sure that this money reaches the people that need it. Those people are in dire and desperate need of the greater family, the African family throughout the diaspora, to lend a hand. Please do so.
What up, Basi?
You know, just to echo the statements, we are all one and the same. You know, it's not none of that, you know, those Haitians or those Africans or people in America don't like Haitians. That's foolishness. Don't feed into that. The same war that the Clintons waged on Haiti, they waged on Americans here. And the same, and vice versa. So, you know, we have children now. We got everyday people there, everyday that look like us. So we can't never get so high that we think, oh, no, not us, because it could be us at one point and how we feel. So it's not about charity. It's not about those people. These are our people. And do whatever you can.
Yes, family. So, come and support. We're going to have music. You know, we're going to have dope artists. My brother here, Henri 360. Go check him out. He's going to be performing. We're going to have dope artists. You know, we're going to have a raffle. So you're going to have good time, but you're also going to have my brother Kweku Lumumba, who's going to put Haiti in context. He's going to put Haiti in a social, political context for us to understand why Haiti cannot face, you know, so-called natural disasters, why Haiti cannot launch forward, you know, into its development, into having her people live in prosperity, you know. So the brother is going to do a presentation. You're going to have a chance to ask questions, to have a better understanding of our brothers and sisters there, you know. So come and support, okay? Brother Kweku Lumumba, you have some last words for us?
Sure. Just share a Haitian proverb. Mien apil, shai palu. Many hands make light work. So we need your hands in this work.
Nous l'emmenons, nous pas détournons.
brothers and sisters, we need to support Haiti. You need to go to the KOSSA, once again, K-O-S-S-S-A, KOSSA.com, and I'm going to pull that up for myself, because we need to support them. It is unfortunate. It is unfortunate that, man, I'm sometimes a little lost for words, you know? That we have to, it should just be automatic. KOSSSA.com, you know? I'm looking at the website, Beautiful Children. There is a way, explains who they are. There's a way that you can donate right on the website. So I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters, go to the website, KOSSSA.com. You may not be here in the Atlanta area. You may not be able to participate this Sunday, but you can. By donating to KOSSA. The Haitian of 1805, it says, no person who is not a good father, a good son, a good husband, and a good soldier is worthy of being a Haitian, of worthy of being Haiti. And then there's a statue of Dessalines, Jean-Jacques Dessalines. You know, the women of the Haitian Revolution, I'm reminded of the sister who was from Ghana, Nanandi, who was a warrior, a real warrior. And she was encountered by one of the sisters who was pregnant. And she had a boy. And she died. And Nanandi took the boy and raised him, nurtured him, guided him. He became Jean-Jacques Dessalines. And if you know about the Haitian Revolution, to me, Jean-Jacques Dessalines stands out more so than Christophe, more so than Toussaint, more so than others. Thudi Boukman and Jean-Jacques Dessalines, they stand out to me, you know. So, go to the website, and they have a P.O. Box, KOSSA, K-O-S-S-S-A, P.O. Box 5284, Atlanta, 31107. They also have a number at 404-884-6638, 404-884-6638. We have much more time. When your brothers want to and sisters want to engage in conversation, whether it's about happenings in Haiti or whatever things are happening, please give us a call at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. I tell you, when I was reading the other piece, it's more detailed, intricate piece, when it talked about Thudi Boukman, it talked about the others and the hatred that the French have for the Africans. You know, which is interesting because many Africans have gone to France, and many American Africans, you know, Josephine Baker, gone to France, gone to Paris, and they felt they were not treated as bad. Segregation wasn't there. The mistreatment wasn't there. But I maintained that France always wants, just like all the other Europeans, they want to be in control. They want to be in control. They want it their way. There was a program called the Africans, Ali Majuri, back in the 90s on PBS. I remember they were talking about Senegal and West Africa and Cote d'Ivoire, you know, and how the French were, you know. Because, you know, once again, the French has still more, quote, properties. The French still have more presence on the continent than any other country. Physical presence. Military presence. Monetary presence. That's why I'm so adamant about Pan-Africanism and the Pan-African Federalist Movement that we all must embrace. We have to have a serious Pan-African conference with all the countries that are on the continent, with all the brothers and sisters who are in the diaspora, who are serious. I don't necessarily mean numbers, but those who have the world ought to do something to formulate, because we got to get these folks out of the continent. We got to get the despots out of the continent. We have a caller. 919-919, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Oshie and Hotep, to all Africans listening.
Ashe.
I hadn't noticed it, but one of the brothers in New York had brought it to my attention. That during the time when Donald Trump and all the immigrants were coming across from Mexico, there was a lot of focus on the women and the children. But when the Haitians came, the camera focused on the men.
Okay, right.
The representation of the black man as a brute.
Right.
An unsympathetic individual.
Right.
So when they interviewed the Haitians, they always interviewed the men.
Mm-hmm.
So who would be concerned about welcoming this big black man? Another part of their deceitfulness.
Right.
That you sometimes go unnoticed.
Right, because they always want to give the impression and the image of the African man as undesirable, somebody who is threatening, somebody who is, you know, yeah.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Right.
So why would you extend an invitation to let these people in?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you was driving along in your car and you saw a big black man walking down the road, you wouldn't stop and give him a lift.
And you see, that imagery works on us as deep as it works on the general society, you know, because they are able to consistently put into our minds of our inferiority, our inability, you know, our less than. And so somebody dark and menacing looking, that we perceive that because we've been trained to perceive that, you know, you strike fear. But he's probably a brother that needs a ride, that needs a helping hand. He's a good man, a father. A brother. We don't know, but right away we stereotyped him because of what these folks have done to us. And we perceived that.
Yeah, I agree.
I personally, I don't make a lot of decisions on white people and their behavior. I get my information from the ancestors.
I say.
Because the ancestors, they don't lie to me. There's a lot of misinformation out here, confusion. People, some people you can trust, other people you can't trust, but the ancestors never lie.
That's right, I say.
If you get your information from the ancestors, if you're confused about something, talk to the ancestors. If you're confused about white people's compassion, ask Mary Turner down there in Valdosta, Georgia.
You're right. What they did to her.
Yeah, ask her how she feels about how compassionate they are. Talk to the brothers and sisters down there in Elaine, Arkansas.
Yes. That massacre.
Yeah. And ask them, do you think it's a good idea to be voting for the descendants of the people who lynched your ancestors? And you're sitting around waiting for Joe Biden and all of them to pass this Voting Rights Act, and the 13th, the 14th, the 15th Amendment, all of those documents ain't worth the paper they're written on.
That's right.
Because you can't legislate the psychopathological behavior of white people.
That's right. That's right. You cannot.
You can take any document that you want and show it to a white man. It don't mean nothing to him.
And we have for so many years tried to appeal to Europeans' nature of morality. They have no morality. They're immoral. They give less than a rat's ass about us. We've tried to march and demonstrate and try to, as Dr. King say, use soul force, love, compassion. You know, that doesn't work on the people. And Kwame Ture said, if you're trying to use morality, but these people have none. They can give less than a rat's ass. They have none.
Yep. The only thing I distrust more than a white person is two white people.
Yeah. And the problem, of course, because of the position they're in, and they control media, and their mindset is in everything they do. Just like I said earlier, Neely Fuller. Neely Fuller said, if you do not understand white supremacy, how it functions, how it operates, everything else you think you understand will only confuse you. And Francis said, it's in everything they do. It's nine areas of people activity. It's in all they do. The politics, the entertainment, the religion, it's in everything they do. And yet we still think somehow, some way that they're going to have an epiphany. And they're going to think, man, I'm so sorry how I've treated these people, you know, and I want to apologize and I want to make restitution and I want to give reparations. No, it ain't happening. It hasn't happened. It's not happening. And it ain't going to happen. And that's what we got to get in mind.
If that's the case, all black people get left back in the first grade. So they have to keep learning the same lesson over and over and over again. You see what they do to you, and then you later on it's, oh, well, let's see if we can work with them. And then they do it again, and you could same thing over and over again.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the
always waiting for the next administration. Oh, we just got to vote this time.
Right.
We didn't do this, and and this is happening because of Joe Manchin and that. You know, please.
And what is, that's the definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. This is insanity. And this is insanity to the point where we cannot understand and we cannot remove ourselves from this madness and close ranks and pull our resources and do for ourselves, because we've been trained that we're unable to do that. We've been instilled a mistrust in ourselves and each other, a lack of belief in ourselves and each other.
Black people don't understand that it's not in white people's best interest to do the right thing by you.
Right.
If they open up jobs to you, that's less jobs for them.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you give a black person an opportunity, that's one less opportunity for white people. They're not going to help you.
And see, we keep thinking that this society, they're supposed to be equal, you know. There's supposed to be equality. There's supposed to be shared, you know, resources and so forth. That's a damn lie, and we know it, but we keep fighting for it because our misleadership, the religious leadership, has consistently told us so, because the theology that, particularly Christianity, the religion that that is, constantly makes us beg for those outside of us to do right by us. You know, only thing they have done when you finally look at it over these many years is throw crumbs at us. You know, a few crumbs here and there, a job here, a position here, a office there. We don't have the ability in this society yet to do for ourselves. We don't have any industry. We don't have any manufacturing. We don't have none of these things. We are beholden to these Caucasians. They are job givers. We are job seekers. And who we seek jobs from can't stand our ass. And therefore, we always get what we got. This is
white people gave us Christianity, and they don't believe in Christianity.
No. No, they don't.
How many of the Ten Commandments do white people believe in?
They don't believe in none of them. They break all of them. On a constant basis.
On a daily basis.
On a daily basis, you know? And even though there's this professed love and, you know, Jesus loved the poor, you know, and so forth. I mean, if they really believe this, why hasn't the conditions of people globally, and particularly where these churches are, some of these places where churches are the poorest places still. If you have the opportunity to go to Ghana, go to Ghana. Or go to Nigeria. Those are two. No, Nigeria is more Muslim. But Ghana is more. Ghana is a heavy Christian population. In fact, my first time there back in the 90s, I was just stunned because nobody told me. They should have warned me. I'd be seeing posters of white Jesus. You know, just really, you know, threw me. I'm like, damn. You know, posters of big white Jesus. And I've been to a couple of churches in Ghana, you know, and the church service and so forth. And I'm not into it, but man. And to me.
Any place you have Christianity and non-white people, the only other thing that you don't have is banks. Because everybody there is poor.
Mm-hmm. And the churches.
Any place you have Christianity where people are non-white, they're all poor.
Yeah. It is not a liberating theology. It's an individualistic theology. You know, just like people talking about, I'm blessed and highly favored. Oh, you're blessed and highly favored. Your community is going to hell. Your family life ain't worth a damn. All the dissension in your family, but you're blessed and highly favored. Many of our people talking about hurry up with the tribulation, hurry up with the rapture, so I can be raptured up and this world here will be destroyed. You know? these some fools, I'm telling you. But I mean, that to me, that's the stranglehold on the minds of our people, is the theologies. In Islam, you can put Islam in that too, because Islam, you know, is not an African religion, and it still speaks towards the individual. It does not speak towards us being collective. It is not a religion that's throwing off the yoke of oppression off of us, closing our ranks and pulling our resources and doing it for ourselves. It's not. You know, and then to me, when you look at what happened to Haiti, and to me, we need to look at that and admire that, because those brothers and sisters fought. They fought. They weren't scared. They weren't scared of the U. They fought the French. They fought the British. They fought the French and the Spanish, United States. They fought, and they won. And those entities have been making Haiti pay for that ever since. And what France did, many people around the world mentioned it was unconscionable. That you're going to make these people who are now free pay. Because they lost, because those so-called slaveholders, those colonizers, lost their property. It reminds me of the movie, not the movie, excuse me, the documentary, Exterminate All the Brutes. Have you seen that yet?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. It reminds me of the opening scene where the Caucasian is talking to the lady who's a Seminole, and he's talking about his property, us, because we had escaped out of captivity and went into Florida and took refuge with the Seminole. And then he says to her, "You give me my property back, and I will let you go to a place where we have for you in Oklahoma, the Trail of Tears." He didn't say, "If you give me my property back, I'll let you stay here in peace." No, "You give me my property back and I'll let you go." But of course, she said no, and you've seen the scene after that.
Mm-hmm.
See, with these Caucasians, and it should let you know, talking about critical race theory, they don't want to deal with history. They can't handle the truth. They don't want to deal with what they have done. They don't want their children to know what they have done. They want to whitewash it. And I mean that in a literal sense. They want to downplay all the atrocities, all the evilness. The question that we need to ask ourselves, why don't we know who we are? Why don't we know what language we speak? Why don't we know what our names were? We have been trained to reject them. We're happy to be Smith, Johnson, and Jones. We're happy. We're happy to go to church on Sunday.
Don't want to face the question of why they did it. The reason why is because what we call white supremacy is actually white inferiority, mm-hmm, manifesting itself in violence and aggression.
Right.
So if they have to examine what they did and why they did it because of their inherent inferiority.
Right. And the threat of genetic annihilation. Frances Cress, I remember one presentation I was at when she presented. She said she was in her kitchen, and suddenly it came to her. You know, has she worked with Neely Fuller and what she put out, the Cress Theory on Color Confrontation, of course, her book, the ISIS Papers and so forth. And it said, bam, it came to her, it says, these folks realizing that when they went around the world taking everybody's stuff in the name of and having sex with the female inhabitants, rape, the offspring did not look like them, causing an innate fear within them that they could be annihilated. And so therefore, they got to control. They got to control everything. And the Europeans said, you know, no matter, we may war amongst ourselves, and they do, because they are very warring people. These people cannot, the thirst for blood and fighting and blood, it just, that's in their DNA. We may war amongst ourselves, but we're going to come together on those who are outside of us, and we're going to suppress them. And if we got to eliminate them, so be it. Because they're the only people that I, you know, if you told me about another people that have exerted genocide on another people, I ain't talking about the European Jews. That's not genocide. That's mass murder. Genocide is when you were like what they did to the people on Tasmania, Truganini and her people. The Europeans did that. What the Europeans did in the Caribbean, particularly with the Taino people on the island of then called Hispaniola or Saint Domingue. That's genocide. And believe me, the way things are going, I'm quite sure they would like to exert genocide on us. And because of our lack
they
of...
They exert genocide on nature.
Good point. Yes. Yes. There have many species that have been eliminated. There have been many, many species that are threatened. The ecology is threatened.
60 million bison. Mm-hmm. 60 million?
Right. Because they knew that they'd kill them. You kill the food supply of the indigenous people. And damn near genocided them on their own land. Mm-hmm. Think by that time, there's only a few hundred thousand. You know, after they came here, when they first came, there were millions. Reduced them to a few hundred thousand. These are some evil people. And I'm saying, you know, that we need to prepare ourselves to work together. And we must do what we have to do to get up out of here. There's no place for us here. This is not ours. It is theirs. And as long as you're here, oh, yes, there's going to be some folks that'll be put into a position to get you to see, like, see, you can be here, too. You can do that. You know, you can rise to this particular position. You can live in this neighborhood.
Go to Disney World.
Yep. See, they put you in and see, look how they're directing your mind. Look at the commercials. You very seldom, I mean, years ago, you would never see a commercial with a Caucasian man and a black woman, and sure in the hell wouldn't see a black man with a white woman, but you see it prevalently. It's very prevalent, man, come on, very prevalent. You see it all the time. It's very prevalent, you know. So I mean, they are getting you ready for your elimination. That's my understanding. Because me as a person who believes in sovereignty, that means that nobody outside of us dictates what happens to us and for us. We determine those things ourselves. But because we've been trained to believe that this is just as much ours as it is the white man's, we helped build this too. And so therefore, we should, you know, be given just as much right to govern and just as much right to be in a political party, just as much right. When you don't own a damn thing, you got to beg for everything you got, everything you get. And because you're able to go to their schools and sit next to them, unlike back in the day of deep segregation. And sometimes you might go and live in an area that you're the only black in that area and your child is the only black that goes to this school. Yeah. So this is the dynamic. Well, we got a caller here. Caller 334. Just hold on, brother. 334. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Hoshi. Sorry to jump off and jump back on, but I just wanted to check in with you to say hello. And I'm sorry I missed the discussion about AD, but there'll be other times, I'm sure.
Oh, you know it will, my brother. How are you doing?
Another day. You know, I'm at work, so I'm kind of bouncing in and out.
I know.
And then I got to go run real quick to get my little COVID. Okay. Screening test. So,
okay. Okay.
But I wanted to check in with you anyway, brother.
Right on. Hey, listen, you guys got a new museum? You got a new museum in Montgomery?
In addition to the Equal Justice Museum?
Yes.
Not that I know of. I know they're doing some expansion.
Oh, okay. That must be what it is. Because I see on a line.
Expansion.
They're talking about.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
And it's funny you should bring that up because I thought I read somewhere that in Milwaukee.
Right.
They were going to renovate the.
Right. The Black Holocaust.
Black Holocaust.
Yes. Yes. In honor of Dr. James Cameron, a man who I knew very well. Dr. James
That's
Cameron,
right.
good
right.
man. So, yeah. In fact, I'm going to Milwaukee, and I'm going to be looking at that. In fact, the museum has been up, but, of course, through COVID and other issues, they've been virtual even before the pandemic, you can do that virtually.
That.
Yeah, you can do that virtually. So, all right, dear brother, you guys have you have a good day. You have a good weekend, brother.
You too, brother. Peace.
All right, peace. All right. All right, dear brother, you have a good weekend as well. And thanks for listening. Thanks for participating. I appreciate you.
Hotep.
Hotep. All right. Peace to you. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fihodie. Bibi Fihodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a safe and wonderful weekend. See you on Monday. Peace, family.